And welcome to Tech Grumps. This is the 70 billionth Tech Grumps that we've recorded since the year dot. And this is me, Nick Ferrier, welcoming you to the show. I would like to introduce you to Tom Morris.
Hello.
And I would like to introduce you to Ian Forrester.
Woo! Yeah!
Hello.
And I would like to introduce you to Stephen Mount.
Yo, yo, yo.
Stephen.
And also Debbie.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going to go first? Tom Morris. And I think it's obvious what you're going to be moaning about.
Yeah, so I haven't got an internet connection. As you may be able to tell from the audio quality, I'm being patched in on a landline, and I'm quite annoyed about it. It's frustrating me no end. I got home yesterday after being out in London, and the internet connection wasn't working. And of course, I scrabble around like a maniac trying to fix it until about midnight, and then give up. And then I think, what I really need to do now is call my ISP. And you know, I'm sort of thinking, well, if Tesco's helpline are open 24 hours a day, why the hell isn't my ISP? It is a national company that's eaten about 17 other ISPs into the giant conglomeration
it's
freedomtosurf.net, which is part of Opal, which is what used to be Tiscali.
Is it nothing to do with BT?
Nothing to do with BT, but I have got some BT hate coming up.
Oh, right.
That'll make a change.
Anyway, so the first thing I do is think, well, I need to work out, I go to my router setup, my modem setup, and fiddle around with that. And not
have you checked the MTU?
I haven't fiddled with the MTU.
Well, that is most important.
I'm waiting until the Tesco website stops working, then I'll go and change the MTU. it gives me some cryptic message about LCP or something. It's like, I don't know much about networking. It might be useful to go and read the manual at this point. Of course, I haven't got an internet connection, so I can't really Google things very easily. And because I live at the bottom of the hill, I can't exactly use my 3G connection either. So the little scraps of information I need to get online, I've been having to call people who've got smartphones and get them to look things up and call me back. Or borrow an iPhone and go up the hill and check information and come back down again. I've been trying actually to get I'll get a dial-up connection and use that. Only the one modem I have in the house is actually broken on an old laptop.
I don't understand what your problem is here. Have you not heard of RFC 1149?
That's the carrier pigeon. I'm pretty sure that my ISP haven't implemented that yet.
Oh.
They'll be implementing that about the same time they actually get around to setting up an IPv6 network.
Oh, my God.
Probably anyway, before that.
Isn't it like a prompt to move house and also prompt to get a new ISP?
What it really should be a prompt to is actually take down a full listing of all the technical details and save them in a file and print them out and have them, so that I'm not having to try and go online to get full details.
In 2010, yeah, we shouldn't need this. We should just plug into the wall and just have internet.
It's easy enough if you're willing to pay somebody a large enough amount of money to come and install something like that, but I can't really be bothered, and I'm technically enough to should be able to figure this stuff out. But anyway, I've checked all my equipment quite rigorously, and I'm pretty sure it's not a problem at my end. And since my ISP has the stunning technical support of business hours on weekdays, I can't call them and find out till tomorrow. And the actual process of finding out their phone number was bloody shit too, because in all the emails they've sent me over the years, none of them actually have the technical support number on the email, which is a bit crap. They have old technical support number, and they did send me an email saying that their contact numbers have changed, and that I could go to their website to find out the new contact information. I read this email about 1 o'clock this morning, and I was about to thrust my fist through a CRT monitor in frustration. And
so got a BT home hub. This won't be a problem.
No, you need wired networking. Yeah. Anyway, so the thing which really pissed me off was I call up the operator, thinking, well, it could either be my ISP, in which case I'm fucked because I can't call them until Monday anyway. It could be my equipment, in which case I'm fucked because I need to go to B&Q and buy some more cable or something. Or it's a transient fault on the line, or it's a fault at the exchange level. So I call up the operator and say, you know, is there a problem with my line? Which is a question which I expect, you know, a telephone company ought to be able to answer reasonably quickly and easily.
Well, surely it all links back to BT.
Well, yeah, I call them
I'm not
up.
Rising to this.
It is Saturday night, and it's 10 after midnight, and I call the operator. And they probably think, you know, the only people who call the operator at midnight on Saturday have to be pissed out of their brain.
I crank them.
And I call up and like, is there a transient fault on my line?
yeah, that sounds like crank.
They then actually refer me on to somebody at BT Technical Services, who for some reason is still up at that time of the night, who checks my line and says, well, your landline is working. And I say, yeah, that's how I'm talking to you. I know that the voice part is working, but is the DSL part working? I can't really tell. I'll have to refer you to somebody in the broadband department. So they refer me off, the phone rings off, and then, you know, on comes the line, you know, Steve has a very, very broad Indian accent, and turns out to be a salesman to BT Broadband. And tells me that since I'm not a BT Broadband customer, I can't get any help from him.
Right,
I'm like, I don't want any help. I just want you to tell me whether my exchange is fucked or not. So anyway, it's been quite annoying, and it's shown me how much of a lifeline the internet really is and how important it is.
Wise words, mate.
Yeah.
I think that all we can do is what we normally do and sympathise in the gravest possible way.
We're laughing.
Although, having said that, I tell you what, every day for the last week, it might be some exchange problem, because every day from the last week at 4 o'clock, my internet goes off. And comes
you're just,
back.
And you're near me actually, so perhaps there's something in the air around here.
Yeah, yeah. I have not been able to ascertain what the problem is yet. I think it might be, you know, birds on the line or something.
It's probably just your mum unplugging it, you know, putting the Hoover on or something. She puts it back.
That
and...
does happen. You know.
Doesn't happen to me. she lives in Watford.
Well, there you go. You see, if you're connecting all the way from Watford, obviously you're gonna have problems.
Just to be clear, I'm not. Anyway, yes, I do sympathise.
It's been prompting. I spent a lot of time reading long form content on Instapaper that I downloaded a few days ago.
You wait till you run out of that. It's like running out of toilet paper.
That's the roughest stuff. Yeah.
And lots of e-books. And the huge amount of Linux distributions I've downloaded off BitTorrent, and lots of committing to local Git and Mercurial repositories, and then thinking, oh, I really should push this up. Oh wait,
did you rebase or did you just merge?
Well, now I've been pulling and pushing properly between machines. Okay. Over SSH and whatnot and HTTP.
How exciting!
It's joyously exciting.
Riveting.
But I did think I did log into a machine and say, I must want to install this Ruby gem. Set it off going, and think, this is taking a long time.
That's but the worst bit, actually, isn't it?
Ruby has a really nice thing, actually, I found, called GemServe. Ruby Gems actually comes with a gem server that comes built in. So you just type in GemServe, and it serves up all your, it creates a local web server, and then on another machine, you can do gem install whatever source.
Yeah, you just source what, it. Yeah.
It's really, really handy.
We play that trick at work quite a lot, to have sort of local gems. Very useful.
Mm. Anyway, I think I've exhausted that.
You've been using the iPad a bit to read up on stuff.
Yeah.
Ka-chow! That takes us nicely into
the entire what?
Rant about tablets.
See, that's
called
a segue, and
oh, it was a segue. Oh, right.
And we're becoming professional.
Tablets. Jeez. You know what? Okay.
If you mention Apple, I'm ringing off.
No, because actually, I'm talking about all tablets. I had a Toshiba.
I don't like Disprin.
I've got vitamin C in front of me.
What?
My auntie used to make me scrunch them.
All right. I mean, computer tablets, not fucking tablets.
Oh.
Anyway, so
yeah, I crush them up and put them in with biscuits, personally.
iPads, yeah.
Is that legal? Yeah, okay.
So listen, hold on, listen, right? It's a very short rant, believe it or not. And the thing about it is, I saw this the Galaxy S tablet a while ago. Yeah, and I was like, oh, a little 7-inch tablet looks pretty good. I might actually consider it because it's got Android on there. Until I saw the price, £499.
It's a bit cheaper than Tesco.
What the fuck? Really? How much cheaper?
I think so. Yeah, I just saw it the other day. I think it's
lot of money though. That is like, I mean, what actually powers the actual tablet? What CPU?
Solar power.
No, it's a battery, I think.
Oh, right.
What kind of CPU is in there? It can't be.
I don't know about the Galaxy Tab, but the iPad has a processor inside. That's kind of what makes it work.
Facetious much. I don't know off the top of my head, Ian, whether it's an ARM or something. But
it can't be that much greater than like a good netbook, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's volumes, though, mate. It's volumes. Come on, it's volumes. It's manufacturing volumes. When these things are being made as much as netbooks, then they'll be as cheap as netbooks. Come on. Can't really blame them.
Yeah, maybe. Well, when they're sold as part of a contract, you know they'll be cheaper. So.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is that you don't need as much. You don't need as much power to run Android or iOS or a tablet OS as you do for a desktop OS.
Well, that's worse, right? You're paying even more for less. Yeah. That's what you're saying. Exactly. But I think it's manufacturing volumes is what they're talking about. Also, probably is. David is saying, unless you get it as part of a contract, they're probably trying to force you into a contract. Yeah, it'd probably be
under. One of the things I did see though is I don't know, I didn't look into it in detail, but I went to like some cheapy shop and I can't remember where it was now. I think it was like it wasn't Tesco or something like that, right? And they had a tablet there, and it was an unknown tablet. And it was running Android. I was thinking, fucking hell. But it was like about £299, which
I saw
thing
in, where did I see it? It was HMV. Some like disco tablet. It was absolutely crap.
Disco
I couldn't
tablet.
Believe it. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, big heels.
This is a question. Does it actually run Android?
Yeah, it's Android.
No,
but it's absolutely terrible.
Its own software. It runs its own software, and all it does is it plays the best of Kool and the Gang over and over and over in videos.
Which takes 10 seconds.
But I mean, the thing about it, okay, if it's Android, and okay, besides the look of it, then you could like replace it with replace whatever the hell's on there with like whatever you want, and that's not such a bad thing. But
you probably can't though, Ian, because it's so underpowered. There's a flood of
it's 1 gigahertz processor.
Yeah, you must have seen them. There's a flood of tablets coming out of China that are. As soon as the iPad came out, they obviously started beavering away.
Yeah, there's a lot of fake iPods. This Disco bollocks was £150 on Amazon, and it's just rubbish. It's just so bad. It's untrue. Okay.
All right, fair enough. Actually, think for me.
I saw I was in WH Smith the other day, and they were giving out vouchers saying if you buy a Galaxy Tab. This voucher will entitle you to £10 of ebooks.
The next Harry Potter.
Smith ebook store.
Yeah, I got that the other day.
Yeah.
When I was buying a Mars bar.
Yes. Yeah. that's a decision I ought to make.
Yeah, look, based
on whether or not I should be able to download one ebook from WH
so
Smith.
A free ebook when you buy a Samsung Galaxy tablet phone for you. I am sold. I want a load of bollocks from the WH Smith books app.
Oh my god!
I've actually got the WH Smith books app on the iPad, and it's there aren't actually any books on there I want to read. It's all
it's WH Smith just having a punt at nothing.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit like Kindle.
I mean, wait a minute. How many books in WH Smith do you want to read anyway?
None.
Exactly. That's not a big surprise then.
I downloaded the app just to see what it's like, and it's shit. Oh, wait, I can't actually go and look at it because I'm not on the fucking internet.
All right. So the end point is that I think actually the tablet form may become, something at some point when the price comes down. But, interestingly enough, I got my Kindle, and I love my Kindle. The only thing that's missing from the Kindle right now, it's got a browser, right? It's got Wi-Fi. The only thing that's missing is it's got a WebKit on it, but it hasn't got a way of having bookmarks in like a way that you normally have them. So
that's not the end of the world, though, that Ian, is it?
No, it's not. But think about it, right?
There's an easy answer to that. You make yourself a website. Yeah. With a wiki on it, and you go on there and you add all the links you want to go to.
That is such a boring, isn't it?
I feel like doing that as well. Okay, I might actually do that, but what I would like is I would like to be able to add my... Like, I read something, right? And I want to be able to go, just add it to Delicious or add it to whatever. Right now, actually, you can send stuff to Twitter. So what I've done right now is I've set up my own personal Twitter account only I can read what I read, and all the stuff goes sent to that, and then I got a little program that I've set up on my machine that just pulls down all the links.
£5 Amazon voucher if you can find Ian Forrester's secret stash of porno links on Twitter.
So effectively, Ian, you're trying to use the Kindle as a browser. I mean, it is a browser, but you're trying to...
No, it's about... You know what it is? It's like basically, when you read something, this is me. My behaviour is when I read something, and especially like I'm reading like blogs and stuff, because obviously the Kindle, I can turn any website into a book, right? And so I'm reading from my Google Reader stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. I want to blog this. I want to blog it on the device, but I want to be able to save it so later on, when I come to like... around to blogging something, then I got that ready to go,
Does Google Reader have a star option in it?
Sounds like Instapaper.
You're reading Google Reader on the device.
It does, but the problem is that the Google Reader, basically what it does, it turns Google Reader into a book. So you lose all the value of all that stuff.
So there's another way of doing it. What you do is you get yourself a post-it note, Ian, and you write down the page
for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And then you put it on your forehead. You won't lose it then. So if you don't lose your head, you stay there. And then just, when you blog, just,
Look in the mirror.
I also
thought about doing, like, a screenshot on my phone of the page and stuff like that. But it's like, it's got to be more, you know, better way of doing this, you know.
Well, other than
anyway,
heavily over-engineered. Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, so I mean, the tablet stuff's very interesting. I'm sure it will go somewhere. I'm sure the price will come down, and once the kind of volume pick up. But for me, I still like my Kindle, and I still like the functionality of having, you know, just the basic functionality on that device, and not having this massive LCD. Anyway,
some of this is accidental, right? Because I don't think Kindle's really trying to pretend to be sort of competing the browser market. It just has a browser, so you can get to Amazon, etc. And I've noticed a lot of people are quite enamoured of the Kindle as a browser, which even means
really that, nice. Actually,
yeah, it clearly is. I mean, something's gone horribly wrong here because people have been clearly sort of overspecking it, if that's all anybody actually wanted. Because I'm sure this was just an experimental thing they added, apart from the fact, obviously, that's how you get to Amazon. But people have still been using it to check Twitter and so forth. So, I mean, it might be better to wait and see if somebody actually sort of adds two and two together and say, well, wait a minute, maybe that's actually what people want. They don't want something.
I see what it is, right? I'm really interested in Kindle.
What is this? It sounds like someone's had enough of their Kindle.
That's my dog, sorry.
Oh, right. I thought you started ice skating.
Okay. Also, the Kindle actually has applications, and it has a thing called a KDK, whatever the fuck it's called. And so you can build stuff for it, but I'm not sure what the process is and what language it supports. So I think right now it's quite a... I think it's based on Java, so it may be quite similar to kind of like the Android-type system, but... it's still, right now, it's still a little bit,
They all come in as experimental, don't they? I mean, I see that there are some game apps or stuff like that, so...
Well, I tried to download one, and it was funny. All it really was a book. That's what it really was. It wasn't anything... It wasn't, like, an app at all, but anyway. All right.
The only thing I'd say on this is that it's kind of obvious that... There's two forks that are really quite strange. There's the putting the LCD type computer into a tablet, and what the Kindle's doing, which is e-paper. And it seems to me that an e-paper tablet might be something actually that loads and loads and loads of people want, with a proper functioning, proper computer. But when you look at the screen, you can actually read it.
You can imagine somebody building a sort of like a Linux distribution that's designed to work on e-ink, e-paper, whatever you want to call it. And all you have to do is basically take off a lot of the flashy effects, simplify the UI, get rid of quite a lot of the colour and the textures and all that
16
stuff.
16 shades.
Yeah, but isn't this behind with the times, though, if we're going to be going back to, like, monochrome screens?
Yes.
Well, no, it's readable. It's readable.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, it should just be literally an e-book reader. It shouldn't be a tablet. It shouldn't be a...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was... Exactly. That's what I was getting at earlier. What you're trying to do is you've got it, you've started using it as it was intended, then you've sort of moved into trying to use it as another device.
I mean, the point with Amazon browser is that just because it works.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you've actually...
No, I see what you're saying, but I think there's certain groups of functionality that I want, yeah, and like being able to read a book is one thing, and also I'd like to be able to add stuff. I mean, the Kindle already has the ability to add annotations and add notes, but it's in a book form. What I want to be able to do is I want to do the same, but with a website.
I don't understand why the idea of a computer with e-paper on it is a bad idea. I think that seems to me that's what I'd actually like that, but I don't want a Kindle because it's closed. I don't really want a tablet because they're not really good enough for... I've got a laptop already and I can walk around with it.
Well, this is it. Laptops are getting smaller and smaller, and that's the good thing about like the MacBook Air and this 11-inch laptops that you get nowadays, is that they're actually functional machines. The reason why I got rid of my iPad was the fact that it was just so convoluted to do very simple things, like go to email to then click home and piss about when on a Windows 180 quid netbook I can have Outlook and all sorts of bits and bobs going on. Whereas an iPad, you're pissing about and it's just, it's not time saving at all. It's more like, it's just all the intention of a tablet is, it's like a home entertainment computer without the big stupid 20 inch HP screen.
Well, they're useful sometimes, right? You you go and sit on the bus or something, and the form factor of the laptop, the keyboard and screen thing, is a bit of a pain. But
the problem is that what happened to me was certainly the iPad was good and it was faster, and in meetings and things I used to have the notes application open, things like HiRise, all sorts of bits and bobs, and that was good, and the form factor was brilliant for that. However, it got to the point where I was carrying my laptop and my iPad. And my iPhone.
Yeah, I know, it's not a big problem.
Just to suit my needs in the day, and it's just like, what's the point in buying a 500, 600 quid tablet if it's going to just be doing, you know, a quarter of your work in the day?
Absolutely, Stephen, I completely agree. So what I'm saying is, I want to spend at most £200 to get an e-paper thing that is for absolutely when I don't need my laptop.
Well, it makes good sense, because what you could do, one of the things I use the iPad for mostly was notes, and a big 10-inch LED screen was totally unnecessary for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I've already started using my Kindle for meetings. I just take that on my phone. That's all I take. You know?
But I'd like to point out at this point that we've turned into Gizmodo, so we should shut the fuck up, probably.
I was about to wax lyrical about how useful the iPad was, but I won't, because it's not grumpy.
Yeah,
cut him off.
Horses for course. But I think it's a genuine grumpy thing is, why is the nothing, you know, the Kindle's closed, you can get open tablets, but the hardware's wrong. Can we please have the one in the middle? You wankers.
Yeah.
We just need to get a tablet that literally is a machine, and it isn't just a, like, iOS or Amazon, you know, Android half-made thing. But the problem is it's so underpowered, you know,
They used to make PC tablets. You get laptops.
Yeah, but they were too expensive for what they were worth.
And shit.
And underpowered.
Yeah. And they feel you're doing stock control in a shop.
Yeah.
I had one. The problem I got with is that I like the e-ink screen, yeah? I love using, like, Instapaper and read it later and stuff like that. I really appreciate now, because I got really good eyesight, I don't want to lose it, yeah? Staring at LCD. I mean, I can do it, but I like to read on my Kindle now. And so that's become my way of, like, digesting information a lot more. I want to also be able to do a few other things. And I think you're right. I prefer, I haven't looked into the Kindle hacks yet, but I'm sure it's probably a way of, like, hacking another OS onto it. And it would make a lot of sense. And I would actually pay an extra 100 quid for a much more open e-ink screen device. You know, it's a perfect size. It fits in my kind of breast pocket. It's super light. It's got a nice text to speech thing as well. And, you know, I just want to be able to, like, do a few other things on there.
I have a feeling that would have happened earlier, actually, if the iPad and Apple hadn't sort of hijacked the market early in the year.
Well, it'll happen now. Now that we've said it, our secret line into the manufacturer's cartel, the phone will be ringing and they'll be saying, Tech Grumps want something between one of those and one of those. So we'll get on that right away.
Factory just started up. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think Apple have hijacked it. They've basically produced the product, and it's.
I think it's slightly unfair. I mean the media reaction to it, not necessarily Apple themselves. So everybody, of course, has been copying the iPad as the correct quote form factor unquote.
Well, whereas listen, fact, what's up with the iPad? Is as soon as the iPad came out, everyone's nicked it. Even this disco thing that I saw the other day. Had a pretend Mac OS X dock at the bottom. It's just ridiculous.
Oh my god.
It's just off.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm always amused by those people who do sort of, you know, who get Linux and they sort of tweak it obsessively.
They bastardize it to OS X.
Another OS, either OS X or Windows or whatever. And you think.
That's just a case of too much time in your hands. That's all that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just no point beating around the bush. That all that is that someone's got too much time at the weekend when they could be out doing whatever they want.
They've got enough talent. Yeah.
It would be interesting actually, to stick that in front of a normal person and say, can you tell the difference between this and Windows or Mac?
They can't.
I reckon quite a lot of people who buy the iPad have a presumption that it's got like Windows or Mac on it. Because I know people who have asked me the question so many... I've had this question about 1,000 times now. Does the iPad have Windows on it? Or does it have Mac OS X on it? And I say, well, no, it's got this like half-blown-up iPhone. And they're like, oh.
Technically, it does have Mac OS X on it. It's just it's a version of Mac OS that doesn't
Yeah, but it's got the terrible UI, and it's not exactly Mac OS X app or anything. It's just a bit of a... It's just basically like a babyish interface in front of a Mac OS X software layer. What I don't know what they call them these days. But
it doesn't have Aqua. It has UIKit or whatever the hell it's called. I don't know.
Well, that just makes it rubbish from day one because it's not OS X. It's a case of it's a tablet. It's not OS X. It might be.
Oh, we're talking about Apple again. Oh, God.
Sorry, are we talking about Apple again?
Okay, let's move on before we get into Apple ranting.
So, I'm happy to support your insane rantings and dribblings of madness, Ian, unless I somewhat agree. Anyway, who's next? He's mad.
Oh, yeah. It's just a small one. Obviously, WikiLeaks is... pretty topical right now as they're trying to destroy the various governments by simply saying stop lying, here is your stuff. But I noticed quite a few journalists who clearly feel a little bit out of the loop because they're not doing any journalism these days are sort of examining WikiLeaks, which is fine, I mean, to start with, but they're not sort of coming out with much, and they've now decided that it's asymmetric journalism, which I don't really understand what the hell they're talking about. Because they've just decided, first of all, they've also decided that WikiLeaks is a sort of stateless company. And that's the way that they're trying to... Well, it's a bloody website. Yeah, which is really... And I've gone completely crazy. I mean, it's this quote here. Yeah, WikiLeaks is the first stateless news organisation. It's a couple of blokes who just, you know, they found someone in various Washington departments who are happy to do leaks. There have always been people happy to leak information if they believe it's a reasonable chance to do this. You usually only need one person and you can leak any amount of stuff whatsoever. I think
the difference is, come on, you're not being quite fair to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is setting up an infrastructure to make leaking really easily.
Yeah, so yes, exactly. But that's it. It's an infrastructure. Yeah, the leak is seen.
Yeah, sure. But at the end of the day, it's still, you know, they're not, people are giving it to them. They're not going out and finding it. Absolutely.
Exactly. No, they're not doing anything extra that hasn't happened before. I mean, so I think journalists have been extremely, extremely lazy and have decided that is the story, not the large amount of information they could examine, and sort of turned it on. The internet have decided that yet again the story is actually the internet, where of course the internet on its own ain't doing nothing, and people behind it are obviously a little bit more interested.
That's the thing, it's only the same as, you know, back in the bad old days when people would leak stuff on Usenet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, anonymously put something up on Usenet, that's pretty hard to kill because it's, you know, transmitted pretty damn quickly around the world and mirrored in, you know, a hell of a lot of different countries. You know, that's how things like all the Scientology information got out and originally was because you had people who were leaking information from Scientology and posting it up on Usenet.
The difference now is though that WikiLeaks has got much more of a profile than Usenet ever did. And so it's amusing. Yeah. The government came out this week and said, we're slapping a D notice, or they call them DA notices now. We're slapping a D notice on anything coming out of WikiLeaks. What a D notice means, for those of you who don't know, is that these are sent to editors of newspapers.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
And that it means that the editor of the newspaper is not allowed to publish anything from that source without consulting the government. Now, that's obviously going to be a very, very good way of censoring the information coming out of WikiLeaks, isn't it? A website that is on the internet that everybody goes to and looks at, and the Twitter feed and the email list and the God knows what else, but it's okay. They're going to tell the national newspapers not to publish it. So we won't find out.
Yeah, and it's not like there are a thousand blogs out there who are gonna repost, you know, WikiLeaks stuff. And foreign media, it's not like people read foreign media at all.
It's absolutely insane, and just shows you how pathetically crap British civil servants are and government ministers. Obviously, one of the things though that I find interesting.
Well, no, Nick, they might have just. I mean, putting out a D notice. Yeah,
you know,
it might be the only thing they can do.
You know, I detect the hand of Lord Witty in this.
All right, Fred, Lord Witty.
I'm afraid that you can't put that on the internet. I'm a rusty tell the newspaper editors to censor it. That's what we'll do. Anyway, one of the things that I find most interesting about this whole thing, though, it seems quite revolutionary because it is different. They have made an infrastructure where people can pretty much guarantee that, you know, no, there isn't a human contact. So if you got hold of their logs, if you were watching their logs as they came into WikiLeaks, you could find the source. But otherwise, it's really difficult to get the source. So it does seem to me like a step change in handling leaks, and revolutionary, therefore. But where are the Seth Godins and all of those people commenting on the revolutionary nature of this? That doesn't.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about Facebook.
Yeah, it's easy to talk about Facebook because it's really more important.
Whereas this is fundamental stuff. It seems to me they're a little bit frightened of it because it is. It is a little bit frightening when your government is so pathetic.
The whole point of citizen journalism is so that you can write a review of, you know, the movie you just saw, not that you could, I don't know, take down a government.
Well, actually, yeah, that is another interesting part. I noticed a lot of tech journalism is sort of just circling around the very simple and mundane and harmless stuff. Sort of Facebook and what you do with your photos and so forth. Whereas this is another internet and security issue in some ways. But it is being, you're right, it's being covered quite differently. And people have sort of a bit fearful about covering it.
I think what's quite interesting is, and it's not the same, but it's kind of like a similar point of view is that I've moved to this new flat and... they sold the flats as having a community and all that stuff. And over the last 2 years, there's been a few attempts to set up a community here, like an online community, join up to the community. Those just turned out to be Facebook groups and then also some kind of forum. And then my neighbor, James, I'll have to get him on the show one day. He basically went on and registered isntawarf.com, you know, and set up a blog and a forum on there. And originally he left all the forums open, you know, because the way that we saw things was that, you know, if it's an issue and everywhere has issues, then it's up to ISIS, as they're called, the developer, to solve those issues and we'll put that in the open so they will have to solve these issues, you know. And it actually turns out good for them. But they turned around and went, they slowly turned around and said, look, you know, can you please shut this forum or shut that forum? And I think there's a fundamental difference in the way that some people see this transparency. You know, they really are terrified of this stuff. They are shitting themselves about this stuff. You know, they don't want any of this stuff out there. They want it completely locked down, you know, hidden out of play, out of view. They don't want anyone to see it. You know, they'll do anything to stop anyone from even, like, going anywhere near it, you know.
Absolutely. It's a, that's why it's a step change. That's why it is revolutionary. I mean, it was the last WikiLeaks publishing stuff. It made me very, very, very cross because a government minister was able to stand up with a straight face and say, we think it's outrageous that WikiLeaks are publishing this. This is putting servicemen's lives at risk. No, it fucking isn't. The fact that you're torturing and killing people is putting servicemen's lives at risk, you cunt.
That is brilliant. Exactly. And I keep on hearing that. And it's like, well, are you? How stupid do you think people are? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
But this is the thing. But you say that, how stupid people are. Some people really do believe that. They're like, oh, you know, this stuff shouldn't be out in the public. You know, on the internet, so anyone can read it. I don't think so.
There are
so.
Some things that no, probably shouldn't be out. There are some things which shouldn't be out in the public. Nothing that WikiLeaks has published thus far gets glass.
Well, not only do they spend time redacting stuff, normally then the newspapers, it's going to be the New York, I think who else is it, going to be the Guardian, and a couple of others got it, and they'll redact it themselves. So Peter, I mean, obviously you get to the situation where you might accidentally release, you know, the name of an agent or something, or might give away some information, which is certainly true. But we all know this situation has not come about because of WikiLeaks. unless they're suddenly going to publish, you know, sort of how to make a nuclear bomb or something, their behaviour is correct.
It has been quite amusing to watch people get confused between WikiLeaks and Wikipedia and thinking that that Wikipedia has anything to do with WikiLeaks. I'm pretty sure you can probably go and find some nutty blog out there with people saying, you know, you should boycott Wikipedia because of all the nasty things they're doing to
James Wales. What's his face doing on WikiLeaks?
Did you see actually somebody's made a Chrome extension?
Yeah, he's making a personal appeal about WikiLeaks. Yeah, you're right. I better read that now.
What, James Wales, the Mancunian DJ?
Yeah, that's him, he's pretty good.
Did you see somebody's made a Chrome extension which lets you have it so you get the Jimmy Wales personal face banner on every single website?
And somebody commented about five times by saying, what's this for? This is pointless, which I thought was great.
Oh my God!
Anyway, you're absolutely right. You know what can you do? I hope good luck to him. And meanwhile, Assange is being chased around Europe on rape charges, which looks pretty suspicious.
Yeah, slightly suspicious.
First of all, the Swedish go, no, we don't think there is a case. Oh, hang on, I'm just being told in my other ear that there is a case.
Yes. So I rolled up my arse means I have to tell you that there is a case.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, they'll withdraw imports of Stetsons or something.
The last statement in this article, just finish off, but WikiLeaks is able to report on what the powerful wish to keep secret because the logic of the internet permits it. And this is new. Again, I understand that permits it. I mean, I understand that they're trying to point out, the structural, you know, the new nature of a structure. But again, they're sort of directing it towards the internet as if really it's the internet that's coming up with this stuff, not humans. Which is National Rifle Association.
You just turn a bunch of modems on and a bunch of routers. And then just by magic, they will leak government data.
Yeah,
I can't get excited about that.
No human input at all.
Because the internet permits it.
That's a typically geeky, bollocky load of trashy wank. Come on. It's by the internet. You know what they mean by the internet. It's perfectly acceptable to use it in that way.
Yeah, no, but that's the point, Nick. Yeah, it is by people who know what they're talking about. But unfortunately, once you start to publish this and this gets read by the public, then the politicians will think, oh, wait a minute, we better do something about the internet. You know that's how it works. Just because somebody who knows what they're talking about makes a statement and other people who also, you know, aware of that domain will read that and understand what is meant. Unfortunately, once it's public like that, other people who don't know what it means will come out with the wrong meaning, and it is the wrong meaning that will often take hold, and that's the thing that we, you know, we'll be stuck with for some time.
So what should they do? They should say something else that isn't correct English.
Well, you either have to, you have to decide how you want to do that. I mean, this is published in the Atlantic.com, so it's not a technical magazine. It's you either have to sort of slather it with more technical terms so people can say, yeah, okay, this is just a geek talking, or step back a bit and just talk about what's actually happening, not
try. But surely they mean
back to the, you know.
Surely they mean the by the internet, they mean the capacity of the internet to make, to connect people in anonymous ways and other, you know, other ways. I mean, that's what it means, and that's
we know what it means.
And politicians can't, you know, that's the bit that politicians are going to latch onto. I don't understand what you think is going to be misunderstood about that.
The power keep secret because of the logic of the internet. You know perfectly well, Nick. People go,
somebody's going to go, oh, yeah, the power of the internet. We should do, net neutrality should be completely blown out of the water because the power of the internet
is... They're already saying that. I mean, for other reasons, they're already saying
that. Disney will be a far greater opponent of net neutrality than WikiLeaks ever will. In fact, the whole argument for net neutrality is made quite fucking clear by the existence of sites like WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I mean, I think WikiLeaks will certainly be part of it, and they might use Disney as an excuse, but I don't think that's because they misunderstand something, and I don't think we can't shy away from those confrontations. They're going to happen. We have to be ready. It's one of the things that I've been saying for ages. We have to be ready for this kind of thing so that hopefully we can go round it. We're just more peer-to-peer.
What it's a bit like? It's a bit like occasionally you read people who sort of say, they'll go and they'll find, like, the best example is, they'll go to, like, a gay pride thing, and you'll see all these, like, you know, slightly freaky fetish people and say, we're trying to legitimize gay people and, to ordinary people, and, and then you've got all these freaks, on chains with leather and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but they deserve rights too. It's like the argument isn't we should just say, oh, we ought to have net neutrality so that we can have, Disney and lots of nice happy things. It's we should actually be defending WikiLeaks as, and not saying, I'm saying,
Yeah, we know what you said.
We should be defending even the sort of worst effects of the internet, if that's the worst that the internet can do. Is make the government more transparent.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
It's not so much making the government more transparent, it's making the government more... I've got the
frightened. Word now.
Petrified.
More responsible. Responsible. If they don't do this shit, then there wouldn't be this... They wouldn't have to worry so much. That's the fundamental thing. This is what we were saying to the... the development company. If you sort out the problems, then there wouldn't be anything to publish, And maybe we're kind of a liberal, lefty, fucking pot smoking. I don't smoke pot, but anyway, kind of person. But I just think that they need to get their house sorted before they worry about all this other stuff.
It's funny you should mention that because I smoke pots. What I do is I put them all out on the wall and then I get a shotgun. Smoke that pot.
Smoking pot.
Anyway.
Personally, I'm snorting snow round here. I'm snorting snow.
Is it snowing where you are?
No, it's just a little bit of cold.
I was going to say, why haven't I got any snow?
Oh, no snow here.
They've decided to omit us from the snow for some reason.
Snow's been redacted from this area.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we're going to get that bloke moaning again how he invented the UK snow hashtag.
What was that about?
Did you see TechCrunch this week on that?
Did I see it any week? You might ask that question.
So TechCrunch put out an article this week about how it's amazing the UK snow website that has come out just in time for the snow. And
what?
This is particularly amusing because obviously this was around last year, right? The UK snow thing. And so TechCrunch put up this thing saying, you know, developer, I forget what his name is, but the guy, Ben, whatever his name is, has put up the website, which lets you see, you know, which plots all the information he's gathered from Twitter on the using the UK snow hashtag. Immediately people were like, it's not a new thing. We've had it for a year or so now. And then they were pointing out that actually TechCrunch had covered it last year. And that, you know, if you're a TechCrunch journalist, it's kind of a, well, journalist. If you're covering a story, a fairly basic thing you can do is to type in the name of the company into your own site search engine and see your previous coverage on it.
Yeah. Crazy. So, crazy.
TechCrunch in not very good, shocker.
Yeah.
Anyway. Should we move on? Yeah, because I wanted to just discuss this sort of connected thing to the WikiLeaks, or at least I believe it's connected, which is that this week the American authorities, the Department of Homeland Security, no less, the Department of Homeland Security, which was formed in the wake of 9/11 to consolidate the response to the terrorist threat, has this week seized... that is, removed from ICANN's servers somehow, 70 domain names. Now, these are not, this might surprise you, but these are not the domain names of terrorist organisations or affiliates of terrorist organisations. They are, in fact, related to people who might be, in some way, infringing copyright. So, what worries me about this is that the Department of Homeland Security are spending their time going to meetings with Disney's lawyers and Warner Brothers lawyers and all those people going, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, that's terrible. Oh, we'll do something about that for you. We'll just remove those domain names from the internet because that's what we've got the power to do. And that I can just turn around and go, yes, oh, you've given us an instruction to remove these domain names. Oh, well, we'll go off and do it then. No judge was involved.
I thought ICANN was supposed to be a private organisation.
It is.
It's a non-governmental organisation.
Yeah, it's a non-governmental organisation that's run by the US government.
Bad.
yeah, I remember a few years ago there was a mass movement in Germany to register people as part of ICANN. They're looking pretty stupid now. Because, you know, there's no point in any of us doing anything like that because it doesn't matter. The Department of Homeland Security can just toddle along to the offices and say, hey, can you take these down for us? We don't think they're very good. Oh, yes, all right, then.
I really don't like ICANN.
But this is, again, what I really want to moan about is that this is our fault. Right, this is hackers' fault, techies' fault.
Huh?
Well, because...
Let's out.
For 30 years, we've had DNS, and everybody's always been saying, oh yeah, DNS, it's massively over-centralised, isn't it? It's a bit of a problem, isn't it? We really ought to think of something else. Anyway, let's roll out another 250 million domain name servers. Yeah. And nobody's done fuck all about it. And it is a massive problem that we've got this over-centralisation in the net. And that a government can just walk along and take bits out of it as they like. The Chinese government do it all the time. And now the American government are doing it because of copyright, not even because of something like, you know, MeWare was on a few weeks ago and we were talking about, you know, increased powers to control the internet. And he was saying exactly this, you know, they won't use it to stop terrorists. They'll use it to do a favour for one of their mates for some big cartel or...
So what sort of sites were taken down? Are we talking like Pirate Bay, RapidShare, those kind of sites?
No, we're not.
File-sharing-type sites?
Yeah, they are file-sharing-type sites, but they're not the
big ones.
They're not the big ones. As I understand it, there were some BitTorrent tracker sites, but not TPB. Because obviously they can't take down TPB. I don't think.
Well, they can take away their domain name.
I don't think they can.
Domain name.
Yeah, I don't think they can.
Nope.
These are all dot coms, I think.
Hmm, interesting. That's fucked up. I mean, there's a few things which are so fucked up about it. One is the idea that if you get rid of some of these domain names, that piracy will magically stop happening.
Yeah, that's a joke, isn't it? You can't have your name.
It's not exactly like you could go to another country and register a domain name there.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, obviously stupid. But nonetheless, that the American government has always been very clear that it stood to protect the internet, blah, 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 and now it's very clear that it does not. So with a Democrat in charge of that, and in fact, the last time we had a Democrat in charge of the lighthouse, the fucking idiot introduced the bloody digital millennium copyright wank.
Yeah, but wait a minute, it was the internet who invented the internet. Al Gore. Come on. You know that.
So actually, bring back George Bush.
More than that, there was not just the DMCA. There was also some other shit which Clinton did too. He did the original internet.
Yeah, I'm aware that he did a lot of things.
Which I can't remember. Which basically prompted the EFF to kick into existence.
Yeah.
There was the original Copper Act. Child online protection, blah blah.
Let's face it, Clinton was famous for doing things.
Yeah, and yes, there was the whole crypto wars thing with the Clipper chip and all that crap.
Yep.
And the
oh yeah, I forgot that.
And he had the other idea, which is he wanted to put chip inside everybody's telly, so that they could. Filter out programs which they didn't want the kids to watch. I mean, he wanted to mandate all TV manufacturers to...
Like all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Television.
Even the ones in Japan and Europe and...
Specifically, he wanted to control the cameras in the world.
But, yeah, so there we are. He was a tosser. And... no, he was a tosser. All over people's dresses, often. And...
you're terrible.
And so was he. His aim was shocking. And now we've got the kind of greatest Democrat since Roosevelt in the White House, and this is what he's doing. He's presiding over a government doing this. So, you know, I was a real fan of Barack Obama.
I could go on about what's his name, the president, you know, a lot. But
Barack Obama.
That's it. Yeah, I'll see that for another day, because...
Probably best. But anyway, so George Bush is an arsehole, but he never did anything like this.
Well, no, he just tortured people.
Yeah, he just tortured people instead. And...
But this one's torturing people and closing bits off of the internet. So I'm very cross about this, and I'm very cross about the fact that we've let it happen by not having a...
What the hell can we actually do about the DNS thing? That's a really fucking difficult problem.
It isn't.
Is there any way possible to build, like, a distributed DNS system?
Of course you can.
Well, I would have thought so, yes. It's not so much for distributed, which is, yes, it's the ridiculous hierarchical nature, which surely we can do something about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that you could even change... Well, I've had a couple of conversations with people who understand this problem very deeply, and they say that you can't alter DNS to be like this, but I can't quite bring myself to believe that you couldn't introduce some form of peering into DNS, and there might be more timeout and retry and those kind of rules, and possibly Well, I think the biggest problem is the massive syntax changes it would require to bind files, because suddenly you'd have a load of more timeout and stuff like that. But I think they're overestimating, you know, how much of a problem that is. I think people would just do it. So I don't know. It seems to me, from the conversations I have had, it's one of those things where people are looking for a perfect solution, and there isn't one. And, you know, they're never going to find a perfect solution, and it needs somebody pragmatic to come along and go, bollocks.
We need an agile solution. We just do bits at a time.
Well,
I think
yeah. Well, we'd like an agile solution that works.
Yeah.
Oh no, we can't. No, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
That's not the agile way.
It's not the agile.
You could write a load of unit tests and never quite figure out how to actually write the implementation.
I think right, Nick. I mean, I reckon that you know, we need to like do something, and it may for a period of time make the internet, you know, pretty lousy for a lot of people. But you know, in the end, we'll be much better off. You know,
I tend to agree with Nick because I haven't even seen, you know, a pressure group that is even making a noise about trying to look at this issue. You know, it sort of pops up at your head, but it's like, wait a second, this isn't right, and then it goes away again. You know, not my job, etc. But
it's a really fucking annoying thing because DNS is one of those things where it feels like somebody's meddling with something very, very important, and whether it's governments or, you know, back a few years ago, you had a VeriSign or whoever is currently the corporate sort of owner of the root DNS servers, who decided to make it so that if you went to a .com domain name which would otherwise return NX domain, that's to say there isn't a registered domain there, they'd instead redirect you to a server with a web page.
Oh, yeah.
With some search results, which seems like, you know, on the face of it, it's a win for users. They type in a domain name, and instead of being given a, you know, there's no domain name here error in their browser, it takes them to a, you know, to some search results. Admittedly, not a search engine they usually use, you know, a search engine from a funny company called VeriSign. But, you know, that seems like a reasonable thing, until they started realizing that you had spam, you know, anti-spam systems, which actually rely on getting a NX domain response to work out whether or not something is coming from a legitimate domain name. And it completely fucked those things up, and loads of people got loads of spam, which, you know, it seems like if you tinker with the DNS system without a lot of thought, whether it's for governments or whether it's for profit or whatever, that seems to be something which really there needs to be some sort of non-profit, international, hacker-controlled organization that's beyond politics, sort of a bit like a more muscly version of the IETF, almost. sort of some cross between the IETF and the UN, who can say, no governments are going to fuck around with the DNS, no governments are going to fuck around with the fundamentals.
But that's pipe dream nonsense. That's why the... That's
liberal
internet.
Lefty nonsense.
No, it's not. That's massive socialist nonsense, because you're going to have to build this entire organisation that has the power to turn around to governments and say, you shall not do that. And governments are going to go, right, we're not doing that.
That's why I think you should give it to Spectre, because they are an extra government, you know, organisation. They're used to being James Bond and
more
stuff.
Cats.
It's much more pragmatic than that. They'd need some cash, and they'd basically set up the root DNSs wherever they're not going to get political pressure. And if they get even a little bit of political pressure, they're like, fuck this, we're buying a ship and running it out of the Atlantic. You know, kind of like
Tahiti or somewhere.
Yeah, or wherever it is. And it will just be a pragmatic organization that a bunch of hackers would sort of run, and it will be basically the internet. Whatever decisions have to be made should be made by technically competent people.
I don't agree that you need to do that. I think you just need to come up with a peer-to-peer naming system.
Well, okay, yeah. That's another solution, yeah.
That's the way the internet works, right? It's just a bunch of peer-to-peer networks, and you can close one down. That's why it's so marvellous from a freedom nutcase point of view, and I realise I'm doing my reputation as a freetard no good at all here. But that's why it's so good from that point of view, because you can close down one network and you can go along with a big bunch of muscly men and you know, put axes through cables and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. The internet just goes around that sort of stuff. But the trouble is the bloody domain name system does.
And so you just need to apply the same rules and just add peering to the name system. Either, you know, when people talk about Internet 2 and all that sort of stuff, oh, it's fiber and all that stuff, I couldn't care less. It's not, I don't find that interesting at all. What I really want is for somebody to address this issue. That would be Internet 2, yeah. A peer-to-peer naming system.
But hold on a minute, wouldn't it?
Sorry, say again.
But okay, hold on. Just for one second, right? If we did decide to go with something completely different, yeah, and it didn't quite work out at first, then what's the worst that could happen? You know, everyone has to type in IP addresses. That's not so bad.
Well, there was a suggestion today on a blog I saw that you could turn IP addresses into mnemonics more easily, so that you could assign... A guy came up with a mapping system where IP addresses turn into words. A bit like words for musical notes. It ended up being like Do, Re, Mi, you know.
Right, I'm nice.
Or radio alphabet.
See, that's something that
I wanted to do something like that to
experiment, because I think I disagree with Tom again. That I think to have this kind of like this kind of thing that does all this stuff ain't gonna work. I reckon you need to do something, you know, very kind of low key with a group of hackers that understand the stuff really well, and it will grow, you know, once it's good, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the possibility is there, isn't it? Because there's so many tools, but as long as you could do something at the TCP or IP level, then you can come along and you can swap all of that stuff out of the tools. And it would for 5 years, but...
Yeah, the other problem, I mean, there are some other things which need to be fixed with ICANN. I mean, the fact that anyone can come along is basically a truckload of money and dump it in their lap and then be assigned a top-level suffix.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I mean, you know, there were people saying, you know, that basically you could imagine somebody like Michael Jordan getting his own bloody domain name suffix, .Jordan. And, you know, he could then have, you know, shoes.Jordan and, you know, TV.Jordan or whatever, and you think surely these things ought to be decided on the basis of technical merit rather than whoever brings a barrel full of cash.
And obviously medical supplies.Jordan.
anyway, should we move on? I think it's very important. But I don't quite know how we're going to even... I'm sure someone is out there trying to work on this stuff, and they do need and deserve the credit, you know. And hopefully, there will be pain, you know. I can't see it being a painless process, but, we'll be better off because of it.
Well said, that man.
Thank you.
So, moving on, what have we got next? That's all that we've got scheduled. And now there will be a short intermission and we will play some music.
Will we?
Somebody will think of...
Try to edit some music in.
Somebody will think of something to say. Does anybody have another grump?
I had some other stuff, but...
I'm positive for today.
That's the trouble. Come on the show and you think, I'm so pleased to be on. Actually, I'm so pleased to be on. The world is so right. I don't want to change anything. I so often think that when I come on a show. Or we have the opportunity to close it now at 1 hour. 1 hour, 10 minutes, which I think would be a record.
I've got one thing to say. And that is that Ashley C has become the mayor of La Casa de Nicky.
For fuck's sake. No. Hell no.
That was it. Nothing else.
Steve, what do you think of this Foursquare madness?
What's that, sorry? What do you think about Foursquare?
Yeah.
What do I think
about Facebook Places.
Oh, God, it's terribly overused. It's like... what I've found is that people, like, sit next, they go to, say, like, a crappy bar, and then because all these, it's like a proximity sensor, like a proximity, so you could like, basically check in at Gaucho's when you're actually at McDonald's, and it's just like, yes, I'm having a fantastic meal at Gaucho's. It's like, well, no, you're not. You're in McDonald's, I'm afraid. And the thing is that I don't understand
what Gaucho's is like.
I don't see how someone would find the need to.
It's aspirational.
listen, right. If I'm wanting to go out for dinner, it's a case of I'm going out for dinner and having a meal with my friends, with my colleagues, with my clients, with my whatever. It's not a case of, right, I'll sit down, then I'll get my phone out, and then I'll fill about, I'll look for the Foursquare icon. Then what I'll do is I'll scroll through a list of incorrect results. Oh, no, it's not working. Let's just make sure it goes to Facebook too. Let's just make sure. Oh shit, 3G's gone. Oh no. my Twitter following is just. Yeah, I'm losing 30 followers, not tweeting my location at the minute.
Given how expensive Gaucho is, yeah, I don't think I'd be doing that either. I'd be enjoying the steaks.
Oh my word, seriously. I think it's just a self-indulgent load of piss, and it's just ridiculous.
I think you just say it because you've never become the mayor of somewhere. You'd be different if you had.
Oh,
well, I have become a mayor. I was a mayor of Common Bar for a while.
Oh, so cool.
It's not even that interesting. Seriously, why do you want to be the mayor of somewhere? Because anyone who's a freak, I have plenty of freaks who follow me, who overfollow me on Twitter, right? And I've had people who've actually come to my old residence in London asking for me as a result of Twitter. At the end of the day, you know, if you want to open your life up that much on the internet, which can't, it's just once it's on the internet, that's it, then, you know, you're going to get patterns of where it's been. Like, I went to Common every day, basically, to work with a partner of mine. And I knew that a lot of people knew I was always at Common. And the problem is that if someone either wanted to get rid of me, come and speak to me, come flash mob me, whatever you want to call it, then they could just go to Common. And it's just like, why do you want to do that? It's like, every day at 11 o'clock, it would say, hi, I'm at Common. How disinteresting is that?
Pretty disinteresting.
It is pretty disinteresting.
I do share a lot of what you're saying, except one thing. I think I talked about this before, but I'm kind of quite a public person. And, you know, I do put up certain information, but I'm very selective about the information I do put up, so I won't disclose, you know, where I take all my dates, for example, which happens to be the same bar in the Northern Court. the guy who serves me is the same guy. He's like, one day he turned around and said, "You've always got a new person in here."
That's terrible.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Same with Foursquare. You're a pattern, and people realise the patterns.
Yeah,
and it's a bit scary, isn't it? But
you know what? I'm on Gowalla. I'm the mayor of Charing Cross Station, which only goes to show.
Oh no! Don't get me started on people who check in at tube stations and train stations. It's like I'm at King's Cross, St Pancras. 5 minutes later, I'm at Euston.
You don't have to tell people. You can check in and do it very, very subtly. And then reuse the data yourself, which is what I do, because it's useful to have all my data so you can go and do interesting things with it. Mm. You don't have to flash it all over Twitter to annoy the fuck out of people. But it only goes to show you how little Gowalla is used in London, in as much as I'm now the mayor of Charing Cross Station, which is strange because I don't go there very often because I don't work in London anymore.
Mm. You know what I think? I think that Ian Forrester is congenitally unable to stop this podcast at one hour. Just another thing.
Wait, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mac. I was just checking in at home.
No more things.
I'm going to check in. Is Ian home on Foursquare? I'm going to check in there.
No, I'm not. I'm not on Foursquare. I'm not on fucking Gowalla. I'm not on fucking Facebook places.
I just checked you in, actually, Ian. Sorry, mate.
Oh, man.
Actually, That's when I get my internet connection back, that's the first thing I'm going to do is go onto Facebook Place and check in all my friends at the porno shop.
I don't care where you check me in. I'm not there. I'm in Manchester. That's different. I am really in a physical location, and it's not a fucking porno shop.
Does Manchester have any porno
shops? According to Facebook, you're in the Pussy Palace.
In Manchester. That is actually written outside his flat, though, isn't it?
Oh, please.
That's the name of the flat.
You go to Ian's flat and on the door it'll have a big sign saying the Pussy Palace.
Yeah. I've been there. Anyway.
So.
What I just love about Foursquare, though, is that the fact that people decide to add home as a location, then put specific details, flat 16B, Salford Keys, the Keys, M50. It's like, what is the need? You know?
That's where you live.
It's helpful for burglary.
But, well, actually, one of the closest Foursquare locations to me is the home of the guy who makes some Tweet Deck.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Sussex hackers, including the man who makes Tweet Deck. Right. I think we've had it. Yes? Are we all agreed?
Yeah.
We are all agreed.
Even you, Forrester.
One more thing.
No more thing.
What? Right. Yeah. Can I have one more thing? One more thing.
Go on, then.
It's not my thing. It's whoever else's thing.
Oh, right.
I'm just permitting someone else to raise a point.
Screw one more thing. Let's wrap it up.
Right.
One more thing now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I won't. I'll say it for the
end. No.
I'm gonna take us out. Backman Turner Overdrive. Let's rock. Sorry, it's the wrong show. Anyway, this is goodbye.
Goodbye.
Audience, goodbye.
I think we're more like Rammstein than anyway.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Right. So from Tom Morris, goodbye.
Goodbye.
From Ian Forrester, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
From Stephen Mount, goodbye.
See ya.
From East Mount, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And it's bye. From me, goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Go on then, Morris, do your line.
Oh, fuck this.
That's not what you normally say.